In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, and we celebrate a most central mystery in the Catholic Church, something that is dear to the hearts of every true Catholic. I should say it would be dear to the heart of every human being on the face of the earth, if we but understood in the least degree what this Trinity is about. And yet I find it almost amazing that there are so many references, so many symbols of the Trinity all around us that we yet fail to comprehend it. And at the same time, it is a mystery that is beyond our intelligence, it's beyond our grasp. But we believe it because Christ has said it is so. We believe it because we can see so many examples, symbols, if you will. St. Augustine says that he examines all of creation, and all of creation speaks to him of the glories of God. St. Francis, I'm certain, did exactly this same thing as well as all the other saints. They looked around them, beheld all of God's creation, and they could not draw the conclusion that there is no God, but on the contrary, they drew the conclusion that there must be a God, there must be a Creator. And St. Augustine says all of this creation, it speaks to him in his intellect, informing him that these things did not make themselves. They were placed here by an intelligent being who created them, who ordered them, who has given specific space, dimensions, time, place for everything that he has created. And they all remind us of the Creator. But I find in examining the Blessed Trinity, St. Augustine found symbols of the Trinity within the human being, the philosopher that he was. They have divided the human soul up into three main components, memory, intellect, and will. But yet it is one soul, it is one being, with three separate faculties. And St. Augustine tells us that this symbol is an imperfect one, but it is the closest one that he can find to represent what the Trinity is, or to begin to comprehend the Trinity. And we could go throughout creation. We could look at that most basic family unit. A father, mother, and child makes up this beautiful Trinity. The three have become one. The one is now three. Each unique, each different, each separate. But yet, somehow, mysteriously, they make up but one being. But the most authoritative will, the most incontrovertible proof that we have is our Lord's own words. We believe it not because we can understand it, not because we can find examples of it. We believe in the Trinity because Christ has told us it is so. He has told us in the Gospels when Philip asked him, Lord, show us the Father and it will be enough for us. He says to Philip, do you not know that the Father and I are one? If you see me, you see the Father. It is very clear that they are separate, but yet they are one. The Son is not the Holy Ghost. The Son is not the Father. St. Augustine goes through this whole explanation. It gets kind of confusing. But he tells you that they're each distinct. They're each separate. One is not the other. yet each one is God. And then to really confuse us, he tells us there are not three gods, but there's only one God. These three persons make up one God. And this has been revealed to us by God himself. We have one of the examples given to us in today's gospel, when he sent the apostles out to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Not in the names, but in the name. One. And if we go back to Genesis, we look that God created all of these things, but he created man. Let us create man in our image and likeness. Indicating that there is more than one person. And over again we see throughout the scriptures, throughout the words of Christ, through the teachings of the church and all of creation, we see this representation of the Trinity. And for those with the eyes of faith, everything speaks to us of God. Everything is a reminder of God. And it is truly scandalous that so many people can see these wonderful creations and not think of God. Or to deliberately exclude God from their very being, to say that these things could not have been made by a God, that they just happened of themselves. How foolish man has become. But just so that we don't become presumptuous, God has always kept this mystery just out of our reach. It is beyond our comprehension because we are not infinite. We are not God. We can only grasp at this truth. And it is necessary for our salvation that we have faith. That we believe not because we understand, we believe not because we see and comprehend, we believe simply because God has said it is so. That is the foundation of our faith, our trust in God, our love for God. We believe it simply because you have said it. When our Lord told the people that unless they eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, they will not have life in them. This was something that was a hard saying. Many could not understand it, so many refused to believe it. And they no longer followed Christ. And Christ turns to Peter and the other apostles. Are you going to leave me too? And they did not understand it any more than any of the others. But they answer our Lord, says, to whom shall we turn? You alone have the words of life. We believe you. You said it, we believe you. We don't understand it, but we believe it. And I mentioned St. Augustine, the doctor of grace. He's written a nice lengthy treatise just on the Trinity. It is mentioned that he once was walking along the seashore, contemplating the Trinity. And there he saw a little boy. And this little boy had a pail. You've probably seen those little buckets kids play with on the beach. And he's taking the water from the ocean and he's dumping it in a little hole that he dug in the sand. And St. Augustine asked the little boy, what are you doing? And he says, I'm going to empty the ocean into this hole. And St. Augustine says, that's impossible. You're being ridiculous. And the little boy, who was actually not a little boy, but an angel sent by God, He says to St. Augustine, who is contemplating, trying to understand the Trinity, he says to St. Augustine, "It is easier for me to empty this ocean into this little hole than it is for you to understand the Trinity." It is a mystery beyond our ability to comprehend. But it is a doctrine of our faith which we are bound to believe. And so while we contemplate the Trinity, and we find ourselves confounded at every turn, how there can be three separate persons, but only one God, not three gods, we return in all humility and all submissiveness to the simple fact that we believe it because God has said it is so. We accept it on His word alone. And this is where Catholics, where the saints find their reward. Once we submit our reason, once we submit our will to the truths that God has given us, we find a sense of peace, we find a sense of calm. And yes, St. Augustine probably continued to contemplate the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. But his soul is no longer agitated or distraught at the thought of not being able to wrap his mind around it. He has become as a little child who believes it simply because his Heavenly Father has said it is so. He realizes his own ignorance, his own inability, and places his intellect, his will, at the disposal of God. Really, he says to God, "Do with me what you will. I am yours. Whatever it is you command me to do, to believe, I accept it. I will do it. For no other reason than you have said it is so, or that it should be so." And so often, we remind ourselves of this mystery of the Blessed Trinity as we make the sign of the cross. We renew our faith in this Trinity, profess our faith to ourselves and to the world, to everyone who sees us making this sign of the cross. We profess our belief in the Trinity, in the words of Christ, our belief that He is truly God, who spoke to us only the truth. And I ask you to consider, when you make the sign of the cross, what it is you're doing. For I greatly fear that so many Catholics make the sign of the cross without attention, without reflection, through nothing more than mere rote habit. And I'm reminded of our Lord's condemnation of the Pharisees. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." How often can we say the same about ourselves when we make the sign of the cross, when we pray? We call upon God. We make this sign of our faith. But do we really think of what we're doing, what we're saying? Do we really lift up our minds and hearts to God? Or are we still immersed in the world? And we can say the same with all of our prayers, with all of our actions. What do we do? And this moment, this feast that God has given us, is an opportunity for us to reflect upon ourselves, But more importantly, it's an opportunity for us to improve. To begin today. To reflect more earnestly. To pray more fervently. To strive with a greater effort, you might say, to leave this world behind and lift up our hearts and minds to God. Looking not so much for understanding, but for love, for faith, for hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.